Hey guys, are you ready for something on your calendar that you actually are going to look forward to? Well, wait no longer, okay? We have our upcoming Reclaiming the Wild Men's Retreat, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to happen on April 26th through 28th at Abundant Blessings Farm in Stem, North Carolina. Now, we know a lot of you guys out there need to disconnect from that digital world that is pulling us down, and you need to spend some time with some like-minded brothers in Christ. This is where it's at. This retreat is all about faith, fellowship, and fun, with an emphasis on the fun. So here's what we're going to have here. We have skeet shooting, horseback riding, archery, hiking, fishing, scripture, cornhole, bonfires. Oh, man. We're going to have some amazing meals. We're going to be camping under the stars. And to cap it all off, we'll have a great church by the pond service that Sunday morning. It's going to be incredible. So you're going to have an opportunity to forge some really good friendships, reignite some passion that's been lost, and really lean in to become the man God intends you to be. So we have limited spots for this. So head over to thelionwithin.us/events. Okay. That's thelionwithin.us/events. And I don't want you to miss this opportunity to reclaim the wild within you, because today you have an opportunity to really lean in and have an experience of unforgettable growth, friendship, and don't forget the adventure. All right. Well, I can't wait to see you again. It's April 26th through 28th at Abundant Blessings Farm in Stem, North Carolina. So head over to thelionwithin.us/events and reserve your spot today. Welcome to The Lion Within Us, a podcast serving Christian men who are hungry to be the leaders God intends you to be. I'm your host, Chris Granger. Let's jump in. All right, fellas, it is time for your meat episode of the week. I'm excited to have you here, so let's dive right in. Before we get going too far, though, we need to have our scripture of the week, okay? So the book this week is in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I know a lot of you guys know this verse, but let's just jump right on it. It says, "For God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." Or you may say self-discipline, depending on your version. But guys, go back, listen to the spiritual kickoff, unpack that scripture at length to help you understand how you can simplify and apply it to your life. And if you like the SKOs, guys, we do these Monday through Friday in our community. We'd love for you to check that out. That could be a great resource for you. I know it gets a lot of our guys in the community just a lot of encouragement as they start their day, okay? So now today, we'll be digging deep into how to being a more devoted dad. And so I brought in my good buddy. His name is Kevin Goodnight. And he started turning his passion into journaling, into actually being an author and a writer. And this is his first book. It's called Dad Voted. It's awesome. It's theologically deep, fellas. I'm telling you, there's a lot of scripture in here. He talks about authenticity, work-life balance, your legacy. Very transparent on the things that he went through. You're going to hear that in this conversation today about his transparency, the issues he was dealing with alcohol, pride, you know, all the things, you know, money, the things that drive so many guys. And it was just a powerful story, powerful message. Thought it was worth bringing to you. I love his energy. I love his passion, what he's doing. He is married with his wife, Keely. I got two boys, Keaton and Court. They even have a dog, Zoe, and a bunny, Simba. So, man, they're like us. They got stuff everywhere. So he is just a fun guy and very active with his kids. So he's in the midst of it. His oldest is 13. So he's in the midst of this dad thing, guys. And he's not coming with, here's all the ways that you're doing stuff wrong. He's coming with, here's the things I've learned. And I want to just share these to help you. And I'm looking to learn from others. So I enjoyed it. Hopefully you do too. But just sit back and enjoy this conversation with Kevin Goodnight. So Kevin, welcome to The Lion Within Us. How you doing today, man?
I'm great, my friend. Been looking forward to this one, man. We've been on the books for a bit. So yeah, excited to catch up today and get to know each other better as well.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about, man. Before we get too far, man, give us a fun fact, something not many people know about you.
Oh my gosh. Let's see here. Well, for those history buffs, the Goodnight name, actually Charles Goodnight, my great, 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 great uncle, he started the Goodnight Loving Trail and actually invented the chuck wagon. So for those history buffs, I didn't get a lick of royalty money off of the chuck wagon or anything else, but yeah, that's a little family history for you.
That's pretty cool.
It's actually Goodnight, Texas, but it's about 6 hours away and haven't been there yet.
Okay. Well, I like a good old chuck wagon, man. I ain't had one of those in years. Now you bring up some good memories.
There you go.
Well, man, love what you're doing. So I kind of just want, in episodes like this, when there's such a powerful story, I like getting out the way. So just give the listeners a little background, maybe what led you up to the point of Dad Voted. But I mean, just let them kind of give them a peek behind the curtain of who you are.
Yeah. So just quickly, just basis in Houston, Texas. Married to my wife, Keely, for 17 years now. And we've got two boys. We have a 10-year-old and a 13-year-old. So we're in the throes of, we got a teenager in the building and just had a beautiful rite of passage ceremony for him and his journey to becoming a man. And which is so funny as you get to hear my story 2 years ago, I didn't know what a rite of passage ceremony was. And at least in terms of to this degree. And right. Man, it's so rich. And maybe we talk some of that. I've seen some of that on your, that you've spoken of as well, but man, it's just, we're in a crazy journey. By day, I run a flooring company. We do construction for multifamily apartments, and it's fast and furious. Been doing it 8 years, been in the flooring business 20 years, right out of college, met my bride at Baylor University in Waco, and we were shipped to the West Coast. So spent a year in Arizona, spent 9 more years in California, and then we've been back in our home state of Texas for the last going on 11 years, actually, this month. So wow. Great to be here. Family's close. My wife, we grew up, my mother-in-law lives two streets down. My family's an hour away. So we're glad to be in Texas, and nothing against California, but a little bit tougher place to live than the great state of Texas. So
yeah, no doubt, man. So I mean, you've been doing the flooring work, and I mean, sounds like things are going pretty well there.
Yeah. So been in a leadership position for 20 years and manage a big team. It's fast and furious. It's ugly. It's all the things that you would say, but we wake up every day and we're the best at what we do. So, I mean, it's even in the business of construction, it's a lot, but it's managing people. I've learned a lot. I've grown more than I've ever thought I could grow, been challenged and that's led to just so many cool things and great relationships. But yeah, so. Really, there was no calling on my life other than grow and climb the corporate ladder. That was me. It was grow, get promoted, climb, accolades, win, make money. And that was, we're wired to work as men. And that was what was kind of, for lack of a better word, ingrained in me. You work hard, you play hard. Yep. And I did it. And I did it hard. I did it well for years and years and years and years. And finally, coming into the pandemic, I had a basis of faith. I love the Lord, but you know, I always was kind of that teetering between one foot in the world and one foot all in for Christ. And, not a bad guy, not a creeper, not an absolute maniac, but just, love the Lord, but was all about how do I grow and accumulate and climb that corporate ladder, which I think so many men are naturally ingrained, which is, again, we like to win. We like to play. We like to be successful. But I think as you get to know me, you'll get to hear the challenges that men are facing. But here, I mean, I woke up in the middle of the pandemic and I told my wife, I said, look, the Lord just told me he's going to show up big this year. And you got almost, again, I know we're creeping up on 3 years ago, if you can believe that, March of 2020. And, 4 years. And I told my wife, I said, the Lord told me he's going to show up. It's May. I said, I don't know how. I just laid off 30% of my staff. I just, my income's down 30%. We're drinking every night. I mean, how can the Lord show up in the midst of everything that's going on?
Yeah.
But I continue to press in and a lot of quiet time, a lot of journaling. I journaled here and there. I wasn't considered a writer. I wasn't a journaler. I would write every time there was a big baby being born. Career decision that needed to be made. The first company I worked for shut the division down that I was a part of. And I saw the Lord moving through all these. And I told my wife, I said, I don't know what's going on, but I have this urge to write. And I feel like there's a book inside me. I said, but who writes books, right? I'm a corporate guy. We don't write books. We get up, we grind, and we go to battle that way. And she said, well, keep pursuing. And so And I just kind of had this inkling, okay, it's not going to be a book, but I really want to have something that stays within our family. Kind of a, how to, teaching my boys at the time, they were seven and they were 7 and 10 and more or less just a book about practical, spiritual, foundational principles. So I kind of just said, okay, we'll see what happens. So we get to December of 2020. I wake up in kind of a frantic. I said, look, the Lord says he's going to show up. I fully believe it. The year's almost up, so I'm going to fast from alcohol. That alcohol was always my stronghold. I'm the fun guy. I'm the guy that rallied the troops. I'm the guy that always had a, you know, always cooking, grilling, going out, had something going on. And I said, it's my one stronghold. It's the one thing holding me back. Right. So I fasted from alcohol for 10 days and nothing happened. I said, okay, I'm just going to continue this on for the next so many days. But 11 more days goes by. So we're here at the 21st of December and we go to a wedding. And it's, you got to think back again. It was the first venue. There was probably 150, 180 people at this party. And every table was packed. And we go to sit down at our table and there was just one other couple. And we're like, okay, this is weird. Every table's packed. The music's loud. And they were a Nigerian couple and they're eating under their mask and they're, you know, stay away, very COVID conscious. And we didn't care by then. I mean, we were just like, whatever. And so we start to finally get through the dinner and hard to understand them under their mask. And we get to the end of the dinner and the wife looks at me and she goes, you were going to write a book one day and it's going to impact the kingdom. And I've told this story hundreds of times now, and I just get these chills telling you. And I looked at my wife and she looks at me and I said, is that the Lord showing up? And she said, absolutely. And then literally the lady got up and left and people were like, well, did she float off? And I was like, honestly, it's a really good story. We maybe get to it, but, I saw her about 2 years later, never seen her, never, you know, kind of just a, kind of a divine appointment per se. And so I then go on this journey. The first thing I do is I tell my family, tell my wife's family, get mixed emotions. One, my family's kind of, okay, whatever. My wife's family is all in. What are we doing here? And then I go on this journey of 10 months of complete disobedience. Still, one foot in the world, one foot all in for Christ. And just even my kids are asking me, Dad, you got this book. When are you going to write this book? And here I am just fighting this internal battle of, I mean, I work, I run a very big business, high energy, high stress. I drink 6 to 7 nights a week. So how on earth could I do this? And it was eating at me. And
the fasting stopped. The fasting alcohol stopped then after you got that. Okay. Okay.
I stopped and went back into back to my old ways, which was 6, 7 nights of drinking, some nights going 2 and, you know, and never 1 or 2. It was a stronghold. It runs in the family, kind of a generational pool. It was me. There was always a good day to celebrate or a bad day to, you know, drown your sorrows. And so that was on the daily for me and I hit it well. Nobody knew. I mean, I got the title. I'm the general manager of this big business. I'm the youngest running the largest. I'm making the money. I've got the paycheck. I've got the wife. I've got the kids. I've got the white picket fence. I mean, I've got what everybody in America says, but I've got this that everybody wants. The American dream, but I've got this just burden and this stronghold of alcohol abuse. And so I go 10 more months, do absolutely nothing, write a little bit of an outline. Okay, we've got a basis for this. I get to the end of the following year and I've got a toxic leader in place. I'm trying to get out of my current job. And my wife says, she says, text Bob. I said, okay, well, Bob is a spiritual mentor of mine. He had left our church and moved to Texas A&M. He's a professor at A&M. And we really hadn't seen each other in 4 or 5 years. And I text Bob and said, look, I'm a mess, man. We need to catch up. And he comes back. I mean, usually it would be hours before he texts me back. He comes back within minutes and says, we are packing up to be at your church tomorrow. Just out of the blue, they were coming to visit our church. So again, divine appointment number 2 of meeting with Bob. And Bob was like, we got to set in a strategic plan to write this book and talk about my career. And his wife just flat out looked at me in the eyes and said, write the book, stop being disobedient to your calling. And so I had an outline, didn't have a title. And that kind of jump started me to continue to move forward. So I go through that through the year that was 22. And I get to May, same lifestyle, playing hard, running hard, trying to figure out this business. And I got a wife at home who loves me dearly. We've been together for, you know, half of our life. And she knows that this is just eating me alive. And she's praying for somebody to speak into me. So I actually had an employee, Antoine, comes to me and says, "Hey, can we talk?" I said, "Yeah." And so you got to realize I'm the big boss. He's operations. And he comes in and he says, "Man, I just got to challenge you." He goes, "You know how many people, A, will never know their calling in life? Even believers will never walk this whole face of this earth and never know what they've been called to do. And you know your calling and you're being disobedient to it." And he goes, "What is causing you to do this?" I said, "Brother, I drink every night." I said, "There's, you know, you can't, when am I going to write a book? I'm running a $40 million construction company. We're doing 200 jobs a day. When can I write this book?" And he said, "You've got to stop this pattern, or it's going to follow you." And so I said, "Okay." Yeah. So I get in my car that night, and leave the office, drive to Dallas the next morning, turn on my podcast. My podcast says, "Stopping the curses of generational sin in your life and in your family." And so again, it's like divine appointment again. So I'm driving to Dallas. This is again, May of 22. And Antoine texts me and says, "You must stop this alcoholism or it yep. will be passed on to your boys." And that was my fear, my wife's biggest fear, that I've got a son who's got that twinkle in his eye. And you're going, I can see he's going to be the life of the party.
Yeah.
And I know this is long. It's such a rich story. It's just I got to tell it in its entirety. And so I get to August 1st, set up an accountability buddy and said, "Look, I'm going to track every day I drink and I'm going to put down on a spreadsheet, share it with me. I'm going to share it with you on my intake." And even with accountability, there was never one or two, and it was pretty much every day. And then there was days that I just left blank. And so August 22nd of 22, I finally gave up. And I had heard of this program through our church called Regeneration. It's a faith-based recovery. And I checked in. It's not an in-facility program. It's a program, a 12-step program. And I can tell you that as of today, I'd have to look at my day counter. I'm 530-something days clean and sober and the Lord removed it. Haven't had a drink. Haven't had a desire really to do it. Very, very small craving. So you're talking about a 20-year stronghold, half my life. And here's the best part of the story is I started that journey and I had about 10% of a manuscript done. And it was good. I was happy with my work. I'm like, wow, I didn't consider myself good with the written word. But again, I'm just kind of just trying to figure out this thing. And the Lord told me to wait on day one. And I said, okay, I can wait. Of sobriety. On day 40 of sobriety, I'm praying and I'm pressing in and I'm like, "Lord, I can't find a name for this book. What are we going to name it?" And I just hear the word "dad voted." And I'm like, "Dad voted? What is that?" And I'm like, "Devoted dads." And I'm like, "Okay." And then I hear "developing devoted dads." And you see the sign behind me and I'm going, "Wow, I like the alliteration. And I like where this is going." And this book that was supposed to be about raising boys has morphed into a book about how to be a better dad and how to be a better dude. And so I was scared to death, Googled it, and GoDaddy pops up. "Would you like to buy this domain?" So I buy dadvoted.com. A week later, I'm meeting with a trademark lawyer. 4 months later, I'm turning in a finished manuscript to the publisher. And then 5 months later of May of 23, I have this crafted and it's "Dad Voted." Dads devoted to discovering their duty, direction, and destiny. I think the three most important D's any man can uncover. And so the cool part is I was just asking for the name of a book. And the Lord said, "I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to, you're 40 years old, on your 40th day of sobriety, I'm going to give you not only the name of a book, I'm going to give you the name of a movement, of a mission, of a ministry." And here we are off and running with Dad Voted, my friend. So that's the big picture of where we're at and what the Lord's crafted. And I'm just being a vessel to be obedient to my calling.
I absolutely love it. Well, guys, I'm going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. If you're a man who's looking for greater spiritual guidance into how to become a better leader, finding resources that you can trust and then implement can be daunting. For me personally, I thought it was a lost cause, and I decided to take the action knowing that I wasn't alone. It was because of this wide gap that we created our Lion Within Us community, and the areas that we're helping Christian men grow are incredible. For instance, we built ways for guys to lean in and grow through fun events like our daily spiritual kickoff, where you get that much needed boost directly from God's word. Our Bible studies that always focus on how to discern and apply what we learn. And even our amazing forum where you can speak your mind without fear of getting shut down or judged by the extreme rules of modern day social media. On top of all that, we know that many men want help overcoming issues and becoming stronger in many different areas. That's why we created several mastermind groups where the iron truly sharpens the iron. Our community is about having a growth mindset, accountability, intentionality, and transparency. In other words, just leave fake you at home and come to community just as you are. I fully believe in what we've built. I see the impact it's making on men right now, and I would love to have you check it out. So start your very own 30-day free trial today to see how we can help you be a better leader. So if you're ready to take that first step, head over to thelionwithin.us and get started. Your journey begins here. Visit thelionwithin.us, and I'll see you inside the den. So, Kevin, I gotta ask, man, the one that jumped out as you were walking through that, there's plenty of those moments, but it sounds like that relationship with Antoine was pretty special to where he could speak directly to you. I mean, share that a little bit, because the guys listening, many of us don't have guys like that that are willing to just be bold and speak like that into our life. So give us some insight there.
Yeah. And my wife would say Antoine was an answered prayer. My wife had been, and that's the thing. I think our men think our wives are not our accountability partner. They're our spouse. They're our treasure, but they're not our accountability. And my wife said, I'm giving this up. And she goes, I can't keep counting your drinks. I can't tell you when to stop. I can't. So she was pressing in and praying. And thankfully, I had shared my faith at work with lots of people. My office is a place that many prayers, many tears have been shed. Worked for a Jewish company and now a public company. But faith was not at the forefront of our business model. And even to the degree where I would have been told to back down if people would have known. But I looked at my job as my platform and my purpose. Now it's shifting as it's now my platform to fund my purpose, for lack of a better word. But thankfully I was able to have open conversations, and Antoine was somebody who also had a story of going through the same thing with alcoholism, and I was able to just lean into him. But I guess, yeah, my challenge is, man, we can say it so we're blue in the face and iron sharpens iron and this and that, but you could see my journey was about accountability. And even my journey into recovery, I get 3 months into the program, they said, Kevin, we want you to now co-lead the 12 steps of the program. So I was in the program and a leader. And then I think that was the Lord going, we need that accountability. I needed that accountability tenfold. So look, my challenge is there's an Antoine in everybody's life. You've got to be in somebody, either somebody's praying for that person to speak into you, or you should be somebody that speaks in, and you should be an Antoine that speaks and challenges into somebody, especially if you know, if it's a relationship rooted in faith and you've got a brother that's struggling, right?
Amen to that. Well, I mean, hats off at least sharing that part in particular, because that piece you could fly by and you would never, I mean, for me, that's what I highlighted when you were talking to them. Like that Antoine, he needs to definitely encouraged just to keep doing that in other people's lives, man. I mean, you just never know how that one little word of encouragement can take someone to do what you're doing and building a movement. So, man, that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love it. So, man, you talked about the 3 D's, duty, direction, destiny, man. What do they mean to you?
Wow. It's everything. I think, you know, men need purpose. Without purpose, we're lost. We're wandering. And as I mentioned earlier, the world has told us what we think our purpose is, and that is that we're a provider and that we're a hard worker. And And through that becomes accolades and awards and all this growth that we think is good. So, man, if you don't know your duty, your direction, or your destiny, and I'll start with your duty. I mean, what are you as a man? What is your purpose? What is your identity? And the best part about identity for those that is a believer is your primary identity is that you're a child of God. And if once you understand that you're a child of God, you will never face an identity crisis. So, for example, if I'm the general manager of Ready Carpet, that's a secondary identity. That's not my primary identity. My secondary identity is also that I'm a father, I'm a husband, and I'm a business leader. But my primary is that I'm a child of God. So if I ever lose any of those attributes of general manager, if they fire me today, I may be down in the dumps. I may not like what's happened. I may have a moment of weakness, but I'm not going to have an identity crisis because I'm going to revert back to my primary identity. And that is that I'm a child of God. Mm-hmm. And then what's so cool about knowing your identity as a child of God is that the more you live into that and press into that, it grows. Then you become chosen. You become redeemed. You become set apart, right? And those are just, that's just more and more and more. So I won't face an identity crisis the day I retire from corporate America because I have a primary. Just like the star athlete blows his knee. If he's a star athlete, he goes into a funk because he's always been that star athlete. Well, if your primary identity is that you're a child of God, you're going to not like it, but you're going to move away quicker. So that's really duty and direction kind of identity, I guess, is just for everything.
Right.
But knowing what your duty is as a father, knowing what your duty is as a man, knowing what your duty is as a husband. There's a chapter, I think I list 52 things of what a true man is considered. And never do I say he's a provider. Your direction, where are you going in life? You know, where do you want to do? What is your calling? Everybody has a calling. Everybody has a purpose. Everybody has a mission. Some people it is in corporate America. It is maybe to make a ton of money and then give it away for resources and for ministry. But every man, everybody has their own unique calling. And then your destiny, it kind of all falls in. You look, there's your destiny that is your salvation, right? Mm. And that's a number one. If you can't walk in freedom knowing that you're redeemed and you're saved, then you've got to struggle. And then, but once you know that destiny, eternal life doesn't start when you die. Eternal life starts today when you accept Christ. And that's living in freedom. And then you start stripping out fear and guilt and shame and where all those places where the enemy likes to just fester inside of you. And man, you're an unstoppable force. You will dream dreams like you've never dreamed. You will have visions like you will never, ever agree. I mean, I have story after story, and maybe tell a few of them here today that of God showing up that nobody would believe that these stories, two people telling me the same thing in one day one I've never met and one, it's just these crazy, crazy things. And we want adventure and the lion within, I mean, brother, you're pursuing and pushing exactly that. We right. all have that within us. And you couple that with the power of Christ that lives inside of all of us as believers, we are 100% unstoppable. And it's a beautiful mission and ministry to have, man.
It absolutely is, man. And that's what it's all about, leaning into the hard stuff. And I really enjoyed, first of all, this is a very theologically deep book, man. Great job. Great job on it. I wasn't expecting that when I started reading it. Like, man, Kevin, he is going deep here. This is awesome. So,
dude, let me show you my ministry. Here are all my ministry credentials. You see this blank sheet of ass?
Yeah, yeah.
That's all my credentials. So, I just went at it. Look, spirit led and self funded. That's kind of my kind of my mantra, man.
It was awesome, bro. I mean, it really was awesome. And then you get to the life lesson section. I want to call out a few of these just to let you kind of pick at it a little bit and share with the guys because they just jumped out. I love the trash in, trash out, you know, the device or vice and disciplining and disciplined. So, man, I'd love for you to unpack a couple of those if you want because they were just excellent chapters, and I think they would be very applicable for our guys listening.
Yeah, look, this book writes in quick hitter chapters. I mean, it almost reads like a devotional, 2 to 3 to 4 pages. I get a little bit lengthy towards the end when I start talking about legacy because that's just a passion. Yeah. But But yeah, some of the basic things that we talk about, trash in, trash out. I had a girlfriend, a friend in high school. That was their mantra. They were countercultural then. And we need to be even more countercultural today. And I'm not hip anymore. I'm okay. I'm not just because I'm just some 41, almost 42 year old dad. I still think I'm with the times, and my kids still think I'm cool. But you know, a show like Yellowstone, I watched the first three episodes and I felt awful after watching them. And look, I'm a dude. I appreciate the female body more than any, just like any other dude. But when I have that vision of Beth getting out of the trough of water naked and walking off, that's ingrained into my brain forever. Mm. And here I am as a man of God trying to love my wife. And look, I'll be honest, we've got getting hit all the time with lustful thoughts and images. And we, this, it's a spirit and a flesh, and it's a battle. And so we're countercultural. So trash in, trash out. What you put into your mind is going to come down. It's going to resonate in your heart, and it's going to spew out of your mouth. And I mean, to talk about the Pharisees, it wasn't that it was about the inside of their cup, right? That was dirty. Right. And that's, it's what it's about eating the unclean foods. It's like, no, it's what you put into your body that determines what's in your heart, what's in your soul. And man, our kids are up against so much stuff, so much being hit at us. So yeah, I talk about trash in, trash out. Look, just being around language and things, and those words just come, you're going to be fed that. Whatever you're feeding is going to come out of you, how you act, how you react. The phone, vice or device. This phone thing is outrageous.
How are you managing that with your kids right now, man?
Yeah. I mean, there's how do I manage it for me? And then how do I manage it with my kids? It's a whole different conversation. But for me, I'm not saving lives. I run a business that installs flooring. Now we're essential workers. If you want to go back to that term, that might make some people cringe or gag. Yeah. We're putting people in their home and giving them a clean environment. But at the end of the day, I don't save lives. And so when I walk in the door, my phone goes in the drawer. When I get home, we go to a restaurant. I don't keep my phone's in my pocket. I take my phone out. I hand my phone to my wife, and she puts it in her purse. I keep my phone on silent all day. I look at it a lot. I mean, what is it? They say the average iPhone user touches their phone over 2,600 times a day.
Yeah.
And so. I set my phone on do not disturb from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m., which is a little loose. I should probably do a little bit different. But I wake up at 5 every day, and my quiet time, the first 2 hours of my day, the first hours is going to be my quiet time and my journaling and then I'll transition into writing and exercise. And I don't look at the phone. I try not to. I may look up a Bible verse or something, but it's on do not disturb because I don't need those calls at 6:30, 7 in the morning. I'm not saving lives. And so it's just that even having the phone as a barrier, if I had it just in my hand right now talking to you, it would be a barrier to our conversation. Heaven forbid, if I just did this and this to you, how disrespectful is that to you? Even if I don't, it's a barrier. So I try to keep, somebody comes to my office, the phone's pushed to the side. Somebody, my kids come in, the phone, the laptop shuts, right? I try to never have a barrier between me and my kids. And then at dinner time, that phone, even if I have it on ring, it can ring 500 times and we're just going to sit there and eat. You will never see me get up from the table and answer the phone. And so it's just portraying that importance of not only the dinner table is huge, but the portraying of what's most important. And look, I only get a couple hours a day with my kids, right? And so that's the most important. Am I perfect? No, man, I look at things. Sometimes it's just, hey, let me answer this. But I hope that answers your question. Now, my kids and the phone, that's a whole different conversation.
Well, unpack it for a minute, man. I mean, let's take a break and then we'll unpack that because that's an area I know a lot of dads are asking about in this new digital world. And this is an area that you have kids that are right there this age. So we'll take a quick break, guys. We'll come right back. So yeah, Kevin, I'd love to know. I mean, you have a 13-year-old. I have a 13-year-old as well. I have an 11-year-old and I have two littles. So I'm right there in it with you. I have girls. You have boys. I have one. My 1-year-old is a boy. But I'd love to know where you're at with this and
it's based on the kid too, right? Every kid's at a different level of maturity. Every kid's at a different level of what they're exposed to, right? I mean, and what they're exposed to in terms of other kids, right? So just let me unpack that. If my 10-year-old, if his best friend is 10, but his best friend has a 15-year-old brother, he's already seeing, hearing, and experiencing things that a 15-year-old is experiencing. Yeah. So we take that into consideration as a parent. My son, my 13-year-old now, has always been the oldest with kids that are oldest. He hasn't been exposed to much, where my 10, 11-year-old, almost 11, is being exposed to more earlier because he's a second child and others. So look, the phone conversation, some people draw the line in the sand and say, nope, not till you're 16. Some people have different, everybody has different perspectives, different reasons based on after school activities. But it's building trust with your kids. And we have a very, very open policy with our kids. They ask us something. We may not tell them immediately, but we're going to tell them the truth. We control the narrative. I think I talk about that a lot, is controlling the narrative as a dad. They're going to find out somehow. So you can't just shelter them. I mean, the F word has been plastered on our kids' playground equipment since first grade. So, I mean, he's been exposed to, and we're in Bible Belt America. I mean, we're in Houston, Texas. There's more churches than schools, right? And our kids are still being exposed. So we're not naive to that. We build a level of trust. You can ask us anything. And if our kids ask us something, we don't blow up at them. We are very, very calm with them. If our kids comes up, thankfully, we haven't had them exposed to too much. But if they show us something on their phone, we don't snatch that phone away and say, give me that phone. That's why I told you could never have a phone, right? Because that's just all of a sudden now they're going to keep things from you for the future. So for our family today, my 13-year-old does have a phone because of after school activities. He can use it at school. They have a lot of rules at school. My wife monitors the heck out of that phone. She does random phone checks. I'd love to sit here and say I'm super dad and I'm doing it. I'm not. We had a conversation this morning that we will be implementing a BARC or some sort of a monitoring software probably for our second child, just because we know his friends and what more he's exposed to. So I'm not a pro. Look, we're in the throes of this together. I would say this, apps, they're on no social media. We do monitor amount of time they're on their phone. I think we give like 30 minutes after school that they can be on. We don't let them on YouTube. We have lots of things and restrictions in place. And that's for us to, we tell them, we're here to protect your mind. There's a lot out there. We talk about porn. We talk about good pictures and bad pictures. We've been talking about this stuff since they were kids. I've had the sex talk with both boys in two completely different manners of how they absorbed it. And those are things, again, I want them to learn from me, because not only can I give them a healthy view, I give them God's view. And look, God's view in my mind is, I give them a biblical view that is right and it's biblically sound, but I also back it up with, not everybody believes this.
Right.
And that does not make them a bad person, because I don't need that judgmental coming from them. Like, here's what we believe and here's why. This is how God made this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. Here's what this means to us and this and that in marriage. Here's why we do it and believe it as a family, because it protects you here, boom, boom, boom. And others may not believe this, and that doesn't mean they're a bad person, right? So do the phone thing. It's about building trust. It's about walking with your kids and not hoping for the best. It's about surrounding yourself not just with your kids and their friends. Try to immerse yourself in the whole thing. And I'll give you an example. I volunteered at I was a camp leader for their camp last year. These are church kids. And leading a group of fifth graders. And these are the good kids, right? In quotations. I was shocked, because not only was it just my kids, it was also all these other kids. Some were invited and maybe not church kids per se, but what I saw and heard, it was still shocking. So it gave me a view and a perspective of what my kids are up against. Not just this bubble of, oh, he has two or three church friends that are good kids. Yeah. Kids are up against a lot this day and age. And I think we know that. So hopefully that's not too vague. Hopefully that's not scaring anybody. Look, you got to control the narrative in your family. You're not just the dad, I'm the driver. Like, you have real conversations. And if they bring you, look, I had a conversation the other day about the N word. And I was talking about racial injustice and why people do this and say this. And I mean, dude, if you're not having these conversations and you're just hoping for the best, right. you're up a creek, man.
You are, because they're going to get that. They're going to get a feedback from somewhere. So
Dr. Google is going to tell them what they need to know and hear and learn. Right.
That's right. That's right.
And
we that, know that's where that usually leans.
We had a 5-year-old looking at naked pictures of women because you could say it. You just say, hey, XYZ, naked women. And if the restrictions aren't set, he's a 5-year-old. He's intrigued by boobs. I mean, heck, I am. I'm 42, right?
Right.
And and you got a 5-year-old who could say that, 6-year-old, and they caught images on his iPad. So we can't hope for the best by any means.
Amen. Take that action, fellas. And that just kind of leads us directly to the section that I really got charged up about, and that's your charge section of your book. And I love the 5L, or the L5 rather. So maybe just kind of unpack a little bit of that for the listeners out there, to give them why you feel like that's a charge area that guys need to lean into.
Man, dude, you got me. I got chills just thinking about it. So L5 as I've unpacked in the last year, my actually family mission, vision, and values. L5 is actually more of our values per se, but it's all about legacy. Look, we've been wired and ingrained to think about retirement, right? And it's all about make this money, get to this. And we all just want this comfortable retirement. We want this comfortable, we're not living. We're just trying to die comfortable. And so that's what L5 is about. It's about legacy, and it's about it's actually rooted, and here's a sneak preview for you. This is book number 2. So, and it's about, L5 is, for, exponents, like to the second power, to the third power. So it's L5. And so it's about exponentially increasing your legacy. And there's both good and bad to that. And that's the challenge and the charges. How are you living a life that is of the, just are do you have a legacy mindset? Because everybody's mindset is about retirement. How do I gain? How do I just smooth into that finish line with a lot of money? And that's really, really tough. So our family pillars, and which is so cool, man, because if I tell my, I asked my kids a couple months ago when I was actually writing our mission and vision, I said, guys, you remember our mission and statement? And they said the 5 L's. And I'm like, so it's got a ring to it that rings, but really the basis of the 5 L's, legacy being the big L, and then, lead, laugh, love, listen, and learn. And look, I know it sounds like a Hallmark card or one of those live, laugh, learns that the moms probably have. But that's how I write in such a basic form, because that really is, how we stick. And are you an avid learner? Is learning something that you want? We're always learning. You've never not learned enough. Are you listening? We talked about that with the phone. Are you doing active listening by listening with your eyes? You remember people's names. Are your kids learning to how to introduce themselves and how to live? Do your kid? If you have a kid that naturally gravitates to the adult table, this might be one of the key things I'll say. Are you pushing your kid away who actually can have adult conversations? I'm a guilty as charged. I got a 13-year-old who's basically a high school kid. And at 10, he wanted to sit with the adults. And I used to kind of push him away. And I finally said, no, look, and he can have adult conversations. So are we allowing our kids to do those things? Of course, are we leading? Are we teaching leadership? We're all leaders for some way, form, or fashion. We're all meant to lead. You can be the warehouse worker making $12 an hour and you're a leader. You just don't. You've just got to find it and pull that out. And of course, laugh, man. You got to have fun. We got to have a little bit of fun in our household and have that, leave that legacy of laughter and fun, and not just this rigid lifestyle of again, gaining, maintaining and accolades. And it's like, no, we've got to be on fire and on mission. So that's the premise of L5. I'm about a third of the way through the book. And then, but there's the flip side, and that's L to the -5. And that's, these are negative words. That really, really hurt lust. There's lots of lust, but more lust for things, more. It's about more money, more things, more toys, leaning on yourself, about being, I actually had a boss. I do this as a keynote and I do this for business leaders. I had a boss who one time said, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but I'm definitely the smartest man in the room. And for a guy to say that, I'm just, he's, when I talked about toxic leader, he's the guy. But leaning on ourselves versus others, how we've always done this will be how we've always do it, right? I hate that. Why do you do this? Well, that's because we've always done it. Of course, lies would be another L to the negative five word, believing Satan's lies about who you are, fear, guilt, and shame.
Right.
Really loathing, which is just opposite of love. You just don't like people. And then finally, that lukewarm living. So that's L5, and that's a sneak peek of book two. I'm taking that out from a keynote to now a full, and that's been probably some of the most fun piece to write. About the third of the way, halfway through the manuscript right now, and trying to find more time to dive in, but learning on the fly as we go.
Man, that sounds incredible. And the negative L5 list jumped out to me, and really all the points, but the lukewarm for the guys listening, the Christian ones, the Christian guys, like, Jesus was pretty, they're pretty clear about what happens to the lukewarm guys. And we got to be on fire. You got to get on one side or the other, fellas, and do what God's calling you to do. So hats off to you for going to the negative side of that list too.
Man, here's another one for you. If you think about it from a lukewarm perspective, think about that warm shower, that hot shower you take, and you sit under that hot shower for a couple minutes, and all of a sudden it's relaxed and you're like, I want more. So you got to turn that water a little bit hotter. And then all of a sudden you get acclimated to that warm water. So you got to get a little bit hotter. So you've got to think about it as a believer. If you're not continuously seeking God, lining up with like-minded men, and lining up with stronger men, accountability in place, that warm, hot water, especially on that mountaintop moment, you go on a retreat, you go on a men's event, that goes away and then you're back to that normal. So you got to continue to push that hot water. Otherwise it becomes lukewarm, man. And we got too many lukewarm dudes, and it's the biggest, it's one of the easiest, ways that the enemy is continuing to get us busy. He loves us being busy. And, because if you're busy, you can't do God's work, but you're making money and you're doing all this great stuff and your family's happy and they got their latest and the greatest, and the enemy's just laughing at us, man. So
I had somebody tell me today, actually, man, Jeremiah, he told me this. He said, busy is being under Satan's yoke.
And
And I was like, yeah, bro, that's,
I think I like it. Take a step forward, buried under Satan's yoke, right? That's, I think, what Dr. Tony Evans says. So, the busy is keeping so many men from doing great things for the kingdom.
You got that right. You got that right. Well, let's take our last break and we'll be right back, guys. I find it helps me to have a guide at times when I'm reading and studying the Bible. One way that helps me is by using devotionals to guide not only what I read, but insights into the scriptures themselves. So we were blessed to become an author on the YouVersion Bible app. And we saw an immediate opportunity to help others with devotionals around the areas that we spend the most time talking about at The Lion Within Us. So if you enjoy the show, you may enjoy these devos as well. We have some guys that are using them as part of their small groups, as well as they're a great way to get conversations going. So to see the ones that we've created, head over to thelionwithin.us/YouVersion. And that's YouVersion to learn more. So that's thelionwithin.us/YouVersion to get started with your own men's devotional today. So Kev, I'm curious, man, when writing this book, lots of impact, I'm sure that you're seeing so far. What's been the best feedback you've gotten?
Man, it's the feedback always comes at the right time, right? When you when you're down and you're feeling like, what am I doing? Why have I put myself out there? Look, just this weekend, I had two. I had a guy, and this is how cool the power of LinkedIn and the power of gifts and the power of giving books. You see all these books stacked. These are all books that were donated to a ministry that I serve in. And so it's, and I've done that now twice where I put it out to, put it out to social media. Hey, does anybody want to give a book away? And this is about 60 books, but it had over 100 books given away to recovery ministries. And I recently did one for, men battling PTSD through, Camp Hope, through the PTSD Foundation of America. And I just put it out there. Would you like to donate a book? And man, had over 100 books to go to combat warriors that are fighting a lot of demons. And so anyways, sidebar on maybe something we can talk about later, but But really, I had a guy who on LinkedIn, they just gave my book out and said, the first person who responds, I'll give Kevin's book out. So this guy reads my book. Now, 6 months later, he texts me this weekend and says, hey, I just want to tell you, your book got me on the right path with God. And now I'm praying and pressing in that this will bring my family along. So you start looking at, like, I want worldly accolades, dude. I'm sorry. I want to sell 5 million books. I want to ride off into the sunset. I want to be a New York Times bestseller. And God goes, maybe, and that may happen. But that guy, his family, has changed. The trajectory of his family has changed forever. The trajectory of my family is changed forever. And my boys, based on me giving up alcohol and walking in my mission. And I got another guy who gave the book away at the local grocery store, just in the wine aisle. He was a beer guy and selling beer. And he just said, man, I'm struggling in life. Omar said, read this book. Here's my copy. Read this book. Guy called him the other day and said, man, that book saved my marriage. And I'm on fire for what God has in store. So they come in waves. When they come in, they're just very, very beautiful. They're just divine kisses on the cheek. Cause I put myself out there. I had very few people proofread this. I kept it in. I didn't promote it for fear of losing my job, for fear of all this other stuff. And the responses have been absolutely beautiful. And Amazon reviews, I mean, kind of speak for themselves when you hear people, I mean, writing pages about what this book did. And so, look, that's all I can lean on. I was obedient to the calling and off and running, right?
Amen to that. Well, I mean, when you wrote this and you have it out here now, what's the best way that dads are effectively using it? Is it a one-on-one tool? Do you see them best using it together as groups? Like, give us some feedback there.
Yeah, it started as a one-on-one tool that most guys have just read. Some people try to read it. It's very simple. I mean, it reads quick and fast and furious. But the ones who read a chapter a day and just soak on it, you know, for it's 42 chapters, so they average what, 3 to 5 pages a piece. Those are the guys that are really chewing on it the most. Now, I did write a study that goes with it. That's free. I download a study off dadvoted.com, and now I'm getting men's groups. I got that Omar guy. He's starting a men's group. I've got I got approved for a couple other local ministries to be part of their curriculum.
Okay.
And so, yeah, now it's kind of going into a group, from that perspective of more men just doing. So it's a little bit of everything. Again, most people will just grab it and jump in usually.
Amen. So where's it headed next? What's next for Dad Vote? You've already mentioned another book that's in the way, but where do you see God taking you?
I got more content than time, which I guess is a good problem to have. So
yeah,
a couple of different things. Yeah, book two's in the works. I've got book three and book four outlined. I got to focus and chew one up at a time, and so got a lot to say. Gotta do it. But really, it's starting to gravitate towards a lot of men want the Dad Voted and the L5 principles. And it's kind of started into some more one-on-one opportunities to walk with men and some one-on-one coaching. I'm close to officially launching the what I'm calling the Refined Father. And so you see my logo in the back. You've got the three bears. Well, the best, that bear, it's me and my two boys. The kingdom, you know, the crown. We also Baylor. We have that Baylor ties. You see, I've got the Dad Voted shirt on. But at the end of the day, we can't pour out into others if we don't work on ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. And we can't be that servant leader that everybody wants to say and use if we don't first take care of ourselves. So there's a little bit of selfish that you have to have before you can serve. And it's really, so I've created the Refined Father Roadmap, and it's a 12-week. Very intense. It's about learning your mission, your vision, your values, your identity, stripping out the old. And you think about refinement, and really there's two sides to refinement. Refining is really just fine tuning, right? And fine tuning is just making small little changes that over time lead to massive results, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of the how to booster or enhance. But then we also have the refiner's fire, and you've got the gold being refined. And when you heat gold up to its pure, of just to the highest temperature, all the imperfections and impurities rise to the top. The refiner scrapes those off the top, and now you have a purified piece of gold that's worth more value, has clarity, and it's purified. So that's what a refined father is. And man, I've got, I think on the back of this little card here, and I'll send you my list. I don't know if you have show notes. And I mean, I've got about 10 things here, but I honestly wrote about 30 things of what's a father versus what a refined father is. And let me just, I'll list a few of these, but a father is a title that's given versus a refined father is a position that is earned. Mm-hmm. A father is nearsighted. A refined father is farsighted. You look at 2 Peter said they were nearsighted and blind. So that's what I'm talking about, what a refined father. A father is anxious and weighed down. A refined father is calm and peaceful. A father is burned out and tired. A refined father is balanced and he's well. Mm-hmm. A father is a provider. A refined father is a guider. A father is present. A refined father is intentional. A father fits in. A refined father is countercultural. We talked about that. Mm-hmm. A father is unprepared. A refined father controls the narrative. You'll like this one. A father is isolated, but a refined father has a band of brothers.
Amen.
And then finally on this list, a father says, I love you, where a refined father shows, I love you. So there's so many cool things, but really it's about that refining, and you add accountability to the fold. And I've said that word so much. I think accountability might almost be more important than intentional, because you're accountable. If you're accountable, and then you also set, you have an accountability partner, and you have a time that you set to meet, they say the success rate is 95% of achieving your goal, achieving your, so we go through a whole thing of a baseline of the fruitful father framework. It's a lot of F's about just working through men, health, wealth, and self, right? That's your kind of, that's your motto. We dive into that. And I won't get into that, but the goal is men are at one of three phases. I always butcher this, but it's you're either foolish, you're in a state of fullness, or you're in a state of fruitfulness. And I think so much of us men, we're in this foolish state. And sometimes we go right to this fruitfulness, which is more about giving yourself, when we forgot the fullness part. And the fullness part is about becoming whole, becoming complete, becoming who you were called to be. And too many men we're either stuck in foolish. I call it male PMS, power, money, status. That's all we're focused on. Or we're going into this fruitfulness, but we've missed this fullness. And that's the kind of that art of becoming and understanding who you are. And look, man, I'm a guy at 2-3 years ago, didn't speak like this. 3 years ago, didn't speak like this. I was scared to death of, again, just trying to make a lot of money and thought I was killing it when I was just really, I was producing a situation that was potentially going to produce a roommate as a wife and my kids one day viewing me as an ATM. And I think that's where too many fathers, we've got to dive in and be all in for our kids and be that dad that we are called to be. I don't think a lot of us are bad dads. We just need to be refined, my friend. So that's kind of next steps. Dad Vote is speaking at a lot of men's conferences and retreats and bringing the thunder where I can, my friend. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm trying hard.
Well, you're doing a great job, buddy. But before we get out of here, let's do a quick lightning round with you just to kind of have a little fun here at the end. All right. So let's get started. So what's your favorite hobby?
Oh, I like to, I really enjoy cooking out, grilling, smoking food, meat, eating meat, right?
There you go. Now, all right. Well, that leads right into your favorite food. What are you cooking on a grill?
Yeah, ribs are my specialty. So that's one of my, I haven't entered any contests yet, but that and of course I love eating a good steak. So.
Okay. Now, being in Texas, I'm assuming when you say ribs, are you talking beef ribs, pork ribs? What are you talking
about? We're doing pork ribs predominantly, but it's usually a crowd favorite.
There you go. There you go. And when you think about God, Kevin, what's your favorite thing about him?
Man, what I love the most is that he never gives up on his people, right? Mm. Never. And that's it. I mean, he could have given up on me years ago and he said, no, I've got something different for you. And that's probably the coolest part.
It is cool, man. How about 180? Least favorite thing about the evil one?
It's the games. It's that spirit of fear and uncertainty that I hate that he seems to pick on it. It's that, that soft whisper that, you know, why are you doing this? You know, that makes you think, that gives you that fear and that uncertainty.
Amen. When you look at the last 12 months, what did you spend too much time doing?
Oh, that's so good. Probably worrying, like I think I told you. I will say, look, the social media, trying to build a brand, it's a fine line between being strategic and being suckered into a rabbit hole, right?
Yeah. So. Amen to that one, buddy. Amen to that. So how about a new habit? Anything you started recently that brought value to your life? It could be spiritually related. It could be health. It could be something with money. It doesn't matter. We're just always looking for tips for our guys.
Yeah, man. Every morning when I turn the coffee on, which I make the night before my wife does, I stretch for 8 minutes or five, six, however long it takes that coffee to make. I stretch, and then I do have about a 2 minute just God speak to me time, you know, just reflection time. But stretching is so good for the body. But I mean, 6 minutes of stretching is a miracle worker, right?
So, amen. And the more birthday candles, the more important. There you go.
There you go.
How about this, man? The last thing. What's the one thing that you hope the listeners remember the most about our conversation today?
Man, what a beautiful, beautiful question. Look, I would just say, wherever you're at, there's start now. And I don't even think we said that, honestly. I think that's just, if your kids are 16 and 15, and you feel like you've missed out, get out of that fear, guilt, and shame and come to them now and change your ways. It's never too late to be the dad you were called to be. You are called to lead them on mission to advance the kingdom and glorify the King. So don't beat yourself up, regardless of the mistakes you've made. Repent, ask for forgiveness, find accountability, and go to battle. It's worth it.
Amen. Amen. Well, Kevin, where do you want to point the guys to check out your resources, to connect with you? What's the best places for them to do that?
Yeah, love it. Dadvoted.com has links to buy the book and to catch up and learn more about the Refined Father. I'm heavy on LinkedIn under my name, and then on all other social media, it's usually Dad Voted. So search Dad Voted everywhere. Kind of got that cornered. But yeah, love to walk with more men, love to challenge, encourage men, love to get more testimonies on this book. If there's opportunities to bring it to men's group or churches or anything, but yeah, just excited and on mission and who knows what the next steps are, but man, excited to partner with more dudes.
Amen. Well, brother, it's been an honor to have you on the line with us. Anything else you have to share?
Man, I just want to say honor you and what you're doing in line within and your groups and your retreats, and man, just keep impacting, man, one day at a time. I'm so thankful that we met again. I don't know how, just a LinkedIn conversation. Somehow I was in a parking lot in the car, yep. And we got on the phone together, and it was a beautiful, rich conversation. And you know, a brotherhood's met is built instantly. So just hats off to everything you're doing. Stay the course. And much love, my friend.
Cool, brother. Well, thank you so much, man. You have a great day.
All right, Chris. Take care, brother.
Are you tired of the superficial? Ready to go deeper and talk about things that really matter? Join a mastermind today. This is more than a group. It's a chance to be heard, to solve your tough issues, and ultimately grow as a man. You can't outsource leadership. You must lean into it as a husband, as a father, or as a manager. A mastermind is the intense and intentional place to do that. Get around other men with a proven framework to work through all aspects of life together. It's time to take a stand, to fight back, and with our masterminds, you'll unleash the lion within. Experience the power of connection, transparency, and authenticity. Head over to thelionwithin.us to register and sharpen your leadership with a Lion Within Us mastermind today. So guys, I told you it was going to be a good one. Kevin's awesome. Hopefully you enjoyed that. Go check out dadvoted.com. I mean, he's got some really fun stuff happening over there. And then I want you to think about this one question, is about how do you maintain intentionality when it comes to raising kids? And this is hard. I mean, being intentional when it comes to being a dad, it's literally the hardest job I have, you know, and I have lots of different hats here. from podcasts to running a community to a teacher to engineer, marketer, husband. There's nothing as hard as being a dad. It's just not. You know, and there's all sorts of resources and stuff out there. But some of it you just got to lean in, learn, and grow. Using God's word to help you, using resources like what Kevin's put together here helps you. So got to be intentional, fellas. Got to be intentional. If you need help with that, this is why we built the Lion Within Us, to give you resources, to give you ways that you can ask the hard questions, the questions that you can't ask on Facebook because they'll shut them down. But if you want to ask a question with the Lion community, you come in, you ask it, and I guarantee it will be answered with salt, with truth. And if it's something controversial, we're going to sit and talk about it. We're going to figure it out together to help give you the feedback that you need, okay? So hopefully you can share this one out with others. That'd be wonderful just to hit that share button. Give us a rating and review if you haven't done that yet. Head over to thelionwithin.us. We have all our resources there, okay? The YouVersion devotions, the ways to join the community, get started today on that. That's all on the main page, okay? So thelionwithin.us. That's the way you connect with us, all right? So head on over there, do that, guys. Other than that, come back on Friday. We'll have a good, fun Friday episode. Got a bunch of tips for you, a health, wealth, self tip, a few dad jokes for sure. We're talking about dads this week. Got to have those dad jokes, right? So come on back on Friday. Look forward to hanging out with you. Thank you guys so much just for listening to the show. Can't even begin to tell you what it means to me, what it means to everyone that we're putting in the work. You're showing up, you're listening. And more importantly, I hope you're applying it. You're applying the things we're talking about to your walk. Because if you put that step of application, oh man, it's going to change everything. All right? So get after it. Have a great day. And remember, keep unleashing the lion within. We're thrilled to announce that we now have 7 powerful devotionals available on YouVersion's Bible app. For those not in the know, YouVersion is the top Bible app in the world, and we're honored to be on this incredible platform. Our devotionals dive deep into the pillars that define the lion within us: health, wealth, and self. So whether you're seeking spiritual growth, financial wisdom, or personal development, these devotionals are tailor-made for you. So ready to embark on this transformative journey and unleash the lion within you? Head over to thelionwithin.us/YouVersion to access our devotions on the YouVersion app. Join thousands of like-minded individuals and dive into the word with us. That's thelionwithin.us/YouVersion. That's YouVersion. And let's grow together and become the leaders God intends us to be.